Hello and welcome to Audiosyncrasy, the podcast, episode number 13, a long overdue episode, and I do apologize for that. No, we have not pod faded. Lots of things going on and work and such. The holidays happened and November just got away from me, but I didn't want to let the anniversary month go by without an episode, even if we are posting it in the final hours of the month. But episode 13 brings us our first interview of the year, and of the podcast, by the way. And that interview was one I did a while back with Heath Vercher. I apologize to Heath for taking so long, and so many wonderful things have happened in that month. But I thought we'd go ahead and put out this episode because there's a lot of interesting things that Heath has to say about promoting his new CD, Patchwork, for which you just heard a beautiful track as well. He's doing some very interesting things on the digital promotion front, and he has some interesting ideas that I think everybody ought to hear about. So I sat down with Heath not too long ago to talk about Patchwork, his latest CD, how he arranges and composes his music, and a little bit about some of the things that crosses the young man's mind. He's an interesting interview, and I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Audiosyncrasy. This time we're going to do a live interview. We're recording on the Gizmo Project with Heath Vercher. And Heath has got a new CD out that you've been hearing on the podcast quite a lot called Patchwork. Heath, it's a pleasure to welcome you to the podcast.
Hey, it's good to be here. I'm not very good at this, so we'll just take it as it comes.
There you go. Well, this is the first podcast interview, so you can let's call it a groundbreaker. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
So Patchwork has just come out. It's been doing fairly well for you. It's a beautiful solo piano CD. Tell us a little bit about the making of Patchwork.
Well, I did Patchwork over the summer when I was still in Lafayette, Louisiana. A lot of it was came out of improvisations that I would work on. I would just get an idea during the day. I'd go over to Anjo Hall, which is where I recorded it, and just lay something down, go back a couple of days later and flesh out the rest of the song. That's pretty much how I did the whole album. I wish I had a more creative compositional process for the whole thing, but that's pretty much how I work. Get an idea, play with it, and see where it goes.
You're pretty prolific. You tend to come up with a lot of tracks pretty fast and furious. In fact, you've already got a couple of new releases up on your MySpace page that aren't even on Patchwork. Maybe they'll be coming out in future releases. How does that work? I mean, you're able to generate music at a pretty rapid clip. That's probably a little out of the unusual.
Well, the stuff that's on MySpace, like the orchestral pieces, were actually things that I'd worked on during the summer, just off and on. I always have a lot of projects going on at once. I think it was like David Lanz who said he always had at least 12 different song ideas going in his head at one time. So, I mean, once he finishes one thing, he moves on to another. I'm kind of the same way, except that that's actually a bad habit of mine, is I'll start something and then I won't finish it. So for every song that I do finish, you can probably bet that there's about 4 more that are still sitting on the shelf in my mind. So
interesting. Now, the solo piano is one that there's a lot of competition in. How do you describe your music when other people ask you?
You know what? We've talked about this before in other places. I don't think there's necessarily a good word for what we as solo pianists do. I mean, there's going to be the quieter stuff. I don't know. I like to think of my solo piano as kind of a mix between classical, jazz, pop. There's some folk in there. I have influences. I mean, I grew up listening to the piano singer-songwriters like Billy Joel and Mark Cohn and Bruce Hornsby. Bruce Hornsby is a big influence on my music, believe it or not. Chicago, the band, actually. I don't know if you can hear that stuff in there. I think it's in there in some places. So I don't really know what to call it. Just solo piano is usually what I tell people, and then they have to kind of listen and decide for themselves.
Patchwork is an interesting process. We'll talk more in a little bit about the publicity decisions you've made about it, but from an eclectic standpoint, and I know this is probably like asking a parent which child is their favorite, which tracks on there tend to be the ones that you like to play the most, let's say?
That one I can answer a little bit more easily. I like In the Spirit, because it's the only 3/4 piece on the entire album. I also like, I tend to like the fast ones, but I also like An End to Autumn. That's one of my favorite pieces. Get a lot of good audience response from that one. A lot of people like him. I'd have to say An End to Autumn, In the Spirit, and The One Who Knows are probably my favorites to play. Definitely. Although they don't necessarily rank that way with my audience, so that's something different.
When you work on a CD, and part of the publicity process for promoting that CD, as you're currently doing right now, involves live performance, is there ever a circumstance where you've got tracks from, well, in this case, it's a solo piano CD, but, you know, I mean, how does that work when you balance out what you're playing versus what you're promoting in a live venue as opposed to the recorded venue in a CD?
Well, when I play places, I usually try and play as much original music as possible. Most of the places I play are really open to that sort of thing. And I can usually find a good mix. I do play some covers, some jazz. I actually have a lot of pieces, solo piano pieces, that I have yet to record that I also play. So people will still get to hear my music. They still get to hear original Heath Fisher music, whether it's on the CD or not. Usually people will ask what a particular song is, and then I can tell them, oh, it's from my CD Patchwork. And they'll get interested, and they'll want to hear some more from the CD. That's how it usually works, though.
Thank you. You've also been doing some other interesting kinds of promotion that probably is a little more on the unusual side. You've been doing some live concerts, but from your house through Second Life. Tell us a little bit about that process, what led you to it, and kind of how it works on your end and what the response has been.
Well, actually, I think you and I kind of got involved in that together. I mean, we both hang out in Second Life, and I was just researching the possibilities of doing some music promotion in there one day, and saw that they had live performances going on in various sims in world. I hate to call it in game. So I went and checked out a few one day, and thought, hey, you know, maybe there's an audience for our type of music in Second Life. So, you know, got together with some people. I have to shout out to Maori Bay, since they're kind of the ones responsible for the debut concert, which was actually back in early October. October 1st was that. And you were there for that, actually. It was a lot of fun. I couldn't have asked for a more supportive audience. It was just amazing playing for that many people. I think we maxed out that area at 35, but there were many more. Well, I'm not sure there were many more, but there were a few more people waiting to get in. So, but one of the most attentive audiences I've ever played for. I actually managed to sell some CDs through the Second Life performance. I know I'm not the first person to do that. And it's really helped bolster a fan base that I don't think I would have been able to reach otherwise. I mean, the people in Second Life, I don't necessarily know that they are out looking for our type of music, but if it's brought to them, then they're very respectful of it, and they listen and provide, I don't know, it's just a good atmosphere to be playing in. It also beats driving 2 hours to a show that may have three people at it in real life, too, so, I mean, and trust me, I've played many, many, many of those. I'm no stranger to that.
So when you perform in Second Life, it's kind of an odd situation. Instead of being at a concert hall trying to help the audience picture this in mind, you're basically in your living room talking and typing away to the audience who is listening in real time. You're actually playing your music into the computer. And tell us a little bit about what that's like. It's got to be surreal when you compare it to the live experience that you've had in a live venue.
Well, the first time I actually played for people in Second Life, it was a little different. Kind of interesting watching the comments that were coming across the screen as I would play a particular song. I think people connect differently with the music, hearing it in this sort of setting. And what I mean by that is, I think I'm able to get across, believe it or not, I think I'm able to get across better what a particular piece is about, because the way I like to write my songs, I usually have a story or a setting in mind. For example, an Into Autumn, you know, I really love the fall, and I'm sad to see it go, and I think if I can tell people that, sometimes it's easier for me to talk to people through this medium that Second Life provides than it is for me to talk to them in person. I'm not really good with words, so which is why I don't sing or do anything like that. I just write instrumental music. But I don't know. I think it provides a different way of connecting with your audience.
Now, based on that and your success there, you've already got a couple more shows lined up. You're mostly promoting Patchwork through the digital world, through, you know, the traditional, well, rather than the traditional radio album CD store kind of promotion. You're going more digital. You're doing a lot of Second Life performances. You're selling your music on iTunes and CD Baby. Describe what led you to that sort of decision to go that route.
Well, it was the fact that as an independent artist, I mean, there's no way that, especially as an independent new age artist, there's no way I'm going to be able to get my music into physical retailers. I just don't have the budget for that sort of thing, first of all. I don't have the time to ship all the CDs. If I had a distributor, that would be something different, obviously. But it's mostly a time factor, you know. Doing things online and doing things over the internet is so much more efficient and cost effective for someone like me, and I think a lot of other artists in our genre would agree. Kenny Kleinpeter was actually the guy that first got me turned on to CD Baby and putting my work up there, because he told me that, you know, you get your CD set up for $35, and basically that money is just to pay for the time it takes Derek Sivers and his team to put your CD on the website, encode your music to all the proper formats for the page, get you in the search engine and everything. I think the better part of that deal, as far as CD Baby is concerned, is what they do as far as digital distribution for you. Basically, they act like a digital clearinghouse, and what they do is, if you want to opt into digital distribution, and it's entirely free, by the way, for any artists who might be listening to this, they encode the music into all the proper formats for all these online stores like Rhapsody, iTunes, Napster, Sony Connect, Yahoo Music. You know, if there's a digital store online, they're going to get your music to it. And sometimes it takes a few months, but my CD just arrived in CD Baby 2 weeks ago, and I'm already on iTunes. So they move pretty fast, I gotta say. It's real professional. You know, if you have any questions or need to contact them, they're great about that. It's the best thing that happened to independent musicians by far, in my opinion.
They're pretty good from a consumer standpoint, I can say, too. They're very good about notifying you when your order has been placed and shipped and all that stuff, too. So tell the audience a little bit about where to find your music in all the various places.
Well, you can definitely find the music at MySpace, myspace.com/HeathVersher. Also at HeathVersher.com, music.download.com/HeathVersher. MP3.com actually just recently started allowing independent artists to put their music on the website again, so I'm getting my music up there as well. Those are the main places for right now. You can always catch me in Second Life, too. It's definitely preferable if you'd like to come to a pseudo live performance. I can't say I tour much right now because, just don't have the time, and once again, it's just one of those things, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, with respect to this digital world, how have you found the connection to the audience? I mean, I know that you've told me online that you've been selling a couple to Hawaii and all kinds of various places. How easily able are you to track where your audience is buying your music from and perhaps how they even got it?
Well, in the case of CD Baby, all the orders that come through there, actually, they have a referral. I'm not sure what you'd call it. It's a portion of the form you fill out. That's it's a, like a referral thing, and they tell you how they found your CD. For example, I had a couple of people buy CDs from CD Baby, and in the referral line was referred by Second Life Concert. Some of them are just previous shoppers that found my music out of the blue. Like, I had an order from Korea the other day. Maybe they were just shopping through and found my music. I mean, that's a good feeling when people you don't even know are finding your music and, you know, getting hooked on it. I mean, that's great for me. If they order through the website, then I get all the order confirmation materials that way, because I ship the CDs from myself. I handle all those orders personally that come through my website. So I keep in contact with those people as well.
The idea of digital downloads scares a lot of, let's call them old school artists. You know, there's a lot of folks that are even independents like yourself, but of course certainly more the well-known types, they don't do the download thing. From your perspective as an artist, talk about the ability to download music, such as at music.download.com/HeathVersher, that people can go and they literally can download a few tracks. Why is that not a threat to you? Why is that a positive and not a negative?
Well, it's not like I'm giving them access to the entire CD, first of all. I have a couple of tracks from Patchwork on there. And then I have a couple that you might not be able to find anywhere else, you know, like my more orchestral work. And part of the thing is changing it out. you know, it gives your audience a fresh amount of content, and it allows them to see different sides of you that maybe they wouldn't get to otherwise. I don't think offering a few downloads of your music is going to necessarily drive away sales. If anything, I think it will help out. I've had quite a few people come through the music download.com website and find my music and then look me up on MySpace and say, hey, I really enjoy your music. And because of that, I've made that many more friends because I offered a few tracks for download. They tell other people, you know, and it just creates a wave. So I think the problem with bigger artists is that because they're in so many different outlets, all one person has to do is get the CD and make a copy of it, put it online, and then you don't have to worry about going out and spending the money. Why you would want to do such a thing is beyond me, but I think it's just a lot easier if you're more well known. Part of the reason that I do offer free downloads also is that not a lot of people can get my music anywhere else, so it's not necessarily going to hurt me. It can only help me at this point. If it became a factor later, I don't know, you know. But I mean, it's not like I'm winning Grammys or anything. Yeah.
Now, the idea of podcasting then must be pretty close to the same. You've been very generous in allowing your music to be shared with the podcast as well. So, you know, is that something that you're finding is helping the genre?
I think so. I don't know that there are necessarily a lot of New Age music-specific podcasts out there. At least, I haven't been able to find too many of them because I listen to a lot of this music. It's pretty much my lifeblood.
I was going to ask you just about that very thing. You're really a student of this music, Heath. You'll listen along with my radio program and know the artist before I post it half the time. How much time during your day do you spend, you know, tell people about what it's like to just keep up with this genre. It's obscure, but it's prolific.
It definitely is. I mean, you definitely get me on the guitar players. I'm not too familiar with those guys. I mean, I have a couple of favorites, but I'm more the piano genre myself, solo piano. I mean, if you probably played a track for me, unless it's something that's very, very old, I'd probably know what it is. I like to listen to that type of music. It's what I grew up on, you know, after I got into it. And I was so happy to be able to actually get on the internet and find all these other people who are doing this, and you know, it's good to feel like you're not alone. I think that's what draws me to the music, is there are other people out there doing this and who are doing it, and they're doing it well, and I want to try and do it as well as they do. I just like to keep up with people too. I think as a genre, we are too. Not a lot of artists know a lot about the others. I mean, we don't communicate. We just have people promote our CDs, and we just hope they do well. You know, I don't think there are many, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but this is my opinion, and that's that a lot of artists in our genre they don't take as active a role as they could in promoting their music. And part of my reason for listening to this is being able to tell other people, hey, check this guy out, or hey, check her out. You know, you'll really like this music. It's different. It's not like what they play on the radio or, you know, in a record store. Get out there and see what there is. That's why I listen to so much of it.
Awesome. So Patchwork is out. It's the latest project available, as we've been talking about, through iTunes or CD Baby or through your website at heathvircher.com. What's next for Heath Vircher?
Oh, that's a good question. A lot of people have really turned on to the orchestral stuff. And when I first started doing music, I actually did a lot more like that, you know, with multiple instruments. You heard the mandolin, actually, in Passion Dance. I like to do things with a lot of strings, a lot of drums. I'm big on percussion, even though I can't play drums. I might work on something like that. I might do another solo piano album. I really, really, really would like to do a Christmas album because I'm a Christmas nut. Obviously no time for it right now because we've just moved to Houston. But I think maybe next year, if I can find some good recording facilities and some people to help me out, I would like to do a Christmas album next year for sure, and have it be more than just solo piano, maybe like solo piano and some light orchestration or something. I think definitely another solo piano album is in the works, because I've been coming up with a lot of stuff here lately. I don't know if you remember, I played a couple of tunes at the Second Life concert that were new solo piano pieces. One I didn't have a name for, and the other was written for my niece and nephew, which were actually just born recently. So things are coming, and I think that's where I'm going to go next. Maybe do another one, and then maybe get into some orchestral stuff.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast today, Heath Fritcher.
Absolutely. It was a blast.
Once again, I'd like to thank Heath Fritcher for sitting down and taking the time to visit with me on the Audiosyncrasy podcast, our very first interview. I hope you enjoyed it. I apologize for some of the sort of the electronic glitches in there. We use a service called Gizmo Project for our communication, and sometimes it goes a little bit wonky on us, but certainly enjoyed Heath's time and hope you enjoyed his information as well. Heath Fritcher has a new CD out called Patchwork, as you've heard. We began with the beautiful track from it called Under the Arbor. That was what we heard at the beginning of the show. In the middle, that 3-4 piece called In the Spirit. And we wind up with this one, a beautiful piece called An End to Autumn. Jamie Osborne, I do hope you've enjoyed this episode of Audiosyncrasy, the podcast. I will be back very shortly, I promise, with episode 14. So much new music is headed your way, and I can't wait to bring it to you. Episode 14 comes your way in the first half of December, I promise. If you'd like to get a hold of Audiosyncrasy, the podcast, it's very simple to do. Our email address is audiosynpodcast@gmail.com. That's one way to do it. You can also visit us online at MySpace at myspace.com/audiosyn. You send the theme here. And of course, at the home of the podcast at radio.jamieo.com. I thank you for downloading the podcast, and keep listening.